Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for everybody today. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. That's called cabin pressure. Everybody shout cabin pressure. Hey, how many of y'all have ever been on a flight similar to that right there? Just a lot of pressure, you know, and all the time on airplanes, I've got millions of miles on airplanes, and I've had some really cool things happen, really bad things happen. And over the last 6 years, because of Florida mostly, we would always fly from St. Louis, got to go into Atlanta, and from Atlanta to there, and I have felt that pressure. Where people, really, they've had a hard time. You go through TSA, they strip you down. Can I get an amen? And then you try to get on the plane, and they're like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And then people start fighting now with the mask and everything. These are actual footage from the plane where they're yelling, and they're fighting, and they're kicking. Some of them are drunk. Come on, they were late getting to the airport. They're restraining people because of pressure. Everybody shout pressure. So we need to understand that pressure is real, and we got to learn to deal with the pressure. So this weekend at Faith Church, I want to deal with the perspective of pressure, cabin pressure especially. I just looked it up in some of the flying stuff over the years. I studied a little bit about cabin pressure. It's the pressure in which the air is pumped into the cabin artificially so that people feel safe and comfortable, and it kind of feels the same to your lungs and your body at 40,000 feet as it does 12. When I was in flight school, especially at nighttime, I had some person that was really intense about training. And sometimes they'd fly me at night and get up to like 13 or 14,000 where the air is so thin and you'd start having hypoxia. How many of y'all know you really don't need to do all this? But your body is not made to fly at that kind of pressure. And may I tell you that here in 2022, our bodies and our minds and our souls aren't really designed to live under the continuous pressure of negative news, of something's gonna get you, of something's bad. And so this weekend, I wanna kinda pull it into perspective biblically to let you know that you should be able to sit down in your seat and relax and recline and realize that God's still on the throne. And if you'll get the perspective right about this, you will show up at your assigned destination in your right mind. Can I get an amen? And by the way, on planes, cool things happen. I remember one time I actually fell asleep or something, and I was leaving Lakewood, and I was at Houston. And I just waited for like an hour and a half for a flight, fell asleep, and missed the flight. How many of y'all, that's embarrassing. Missed the flight, but the next flight that I got on, I was sitting here, right here, and a guy gets on, and he climbs over this person, and he's on the phone, and he's talking about all the problems that he's having at his church. Every problem that the guy had, I knew the answer to because I was in the quote-unquote church business as well. When he sat down, I said, hey, I couldn't help but overhear what's going on. What have you tried this, 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 and this? And if you do that, it'll be, he said, oh my gosh. And we were on the plane for about an hour and a half or 2 hours flying into Florida, and he got the information he needed. And a cool story. It's the coolest thing that ever happened. By the end of it, he said, who are you? And I told him who I was. And he went to Faith Church, downloaded the app, and actually gave a $1,000 offering on the flight. Can I get an amen? Not to me, but to the church. True story. So if we look at the pressure and the obstacles as opportunities in life, change the perspective, then it really, really changes everything about everything. In fact, I want to talk about being wrong for a minute. Anybody knows what it's like to be wrong? I want you to yell out some answers to me. What's it feel like when you're wrong? Just yell it. Come on, everybody. Florida, tell me. Embarrassing. That's a good one. What else? Terrible. Shameful. It's a good one. Okay. That's all good, but you're describing what it feels like to find out you were wrong. It actually feels good to be wrong. You're wrong and you're like, I'm heading there at a high rate of speed. Because when you're actually wrong, you don't know you're wrong and you keep making dumb decisions. Does that make sense? So it's not, you describe to me what it feels like to find out you're wrong. Oh man, I found out I'm wrong, so that's stupid. I feel embarrassed. Actually, it feels really good to be wrong. But if you change your perspective and realize, hey, what's going on right now is causing me to have a wrong perspective. You think it's the government. You think it's gas. You think, I'm talking about high gas, not just gas, but it could be that as well. But what we're doing is we're looking for someone to blame instead of asking God, hey, God, maybe I was supposed to miss the flight so that I could be on the quote-unquote wrong flight, which really was the right flight, because that guy got, somebody ought to shout amen, he got the information he needed. But if we're not careful, we could just automatically default to, man, this pressure is so hard. Pressure, we're all familiar with it. We even write songs about it. Pressure, under pressure. Anybody old enough to remember that song? If you're not old enough, just Google it. You know how to do that. Under pressure. Pressure. We have pressure from our peers. We have pressure as students. We have pressure. God knows if you're married, can I get an amen? And then you have kids, can I get another amen? And then your kids turn teenagers, can I get an amen? Even if you're a teenager, you know your pressure. Pressure. So we got all this pressure coming to us all the time, and we can either sit back and relax and realize, I'm going to figure this out, and I'm going to enjoy the journey, and I'm going to ask the question, what can I learn from this? Because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. While you're flying anyway, you might as well sit back, enjoy it. In fact, these seats are really cool. They got televisions in it. You can watch me online. That's a good one, right? Yeah, this one here, they showed me, even has a phone so we could pick up and call God. Can I get an amen at the church? There's a lot of things you can do on this thing called life while you're traveling. You can either cast your cares upon God because he cares for you, or you could say, you know what, I've got to figure it out my way. And then we have to, at that point, we got to figure out not how do we eradicate the worry or eradicate the pressure. We try to learn to live with it. Some people learn to live with it through alcohol, some violence. And in fact, I found through my life's journey that some people react, and if you really study why they reacted by getting to know them, something happened to them that made them angry, and then they were triggered again, and that only facilitated more anger. You say, what's the answer? It's very easy. You accept Jesus and allow Jesus to start healing your heart and healing your soul, and then the next thing you know, come on, somebody, you're not trying to cover it up. You're using it as a testimony. Philippians, let's go there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, do everything readily and cheerfully without bickering. No second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air in this squalid, polluted society, and provide people with a glimpse of the good living and the living God. Carry light, giving the message into the night. So I'll have a good cause to be proud of you, Paul is saying, in the day that Christ returns. You'll be, I love this, you'll be living proof that I didn't go to all the work for nothing. The next verse says, even if I'm executed, I just had to pause there when I was studying it. Even if I'm executed, how many of y'all don't plan on getting executed anytime soon, right? But this guy didn't write this in the Bahamas. He didn't write this in Palm Beach. He wrote this in prison. And he's saying, even though I might be executed, even though I've got all these problems that are surrounding me, what I'm going to focus on is going out in a dark world and being a bright light and say, things are not as bad as you think they are. God's still on the throne. Come on, Florida. Things are not as bad as you think they are. God's going to provide the gas I need. I'm here to tell you that we're not being executed. We just got beat up on a plane with a guy with smelly feet and a lot of noise. Even if I'm executed here and now, I'll rejoice in being an element of an offering of your faith. You can join me in this rejoicing. He says, I love this last line. It says, whatever you do, don't feel sorry for me. So Paul was a master at responding to pressure. How you respond to pressure determines whether or not how you and your wife get along. How you respond to pressure determines whether or not you stay in that organization or not, because there's always going to be pressure. Raise your hand if you understand what I'm talking about right now. But Paul had discovered, he said, you know what? My journey can't take away my joy. You ought to write that down. My journey can't take away my joy. So yeah, my journey is I'm flying to a city where a guy's in the middle with doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But this is just a brief moment of my life. But we actually see people go insane on a plane. And they go insane on a plane and they get handcuffed and taken off of the plane. And all they were going to do, they just had to put up with it for 2 hours. But actually, it was the trip to the airport. I was running late. I couldn't find parking. Where's my bag? There's a big line. TSA held me up. They strip searched me. Now, all these different things lead to pressure. And so it's like, all I did was took off my shoes. No, we got to back it up that this guy had a lot of pressure getting to here. And so if we will look at people from a different perspective and realize they might have been raped, they might have been maligned, they might have been abused, the stuff that I've heard that people have been through, I say sometimes, I text last night, I told God, I said, God, thank God I'm not God for a lot of reasons. But I'm glad I'm not God just for the mere fact of the stuff that God sees and how his heart must be troubled. So here's what I want you to do, to realize that we're not God. So we need to say what Paul said. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to say this thing that came against me is only going to make me stronger. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I'm pressed down, but I'm not abandoned. And I've got the recipe for responding to pressure. I want you to shout that with me in Florida and everywhere. Shout, I have the recipe for responding to pressures. Your pressure and problems do not dictate God's power. I want to say it again. Your problems and your pressure do not dictate God's power. God was still God in 1918. God was still God whether we went to the moon or didn't go to the moon. How many know there's a lot of discrepancies about that? They're like, hey, how come the flag on the moon is actually moving because there's no atmosphere up there? You know, we've been lied to quite a bit. We don't know. I'm not saying we didn't go to the moon. I'm just saying it's questionable because I've never been to the moon. Raise your hand if you've never been to the moon. I know the song, Fly Me to the Moon. Okay, but I've never been to the moon. So sometimes if we're not careful, we think that God has changed, and the same God that was with Paul in prison is with you in this feeling of imprisonment that you have right now. This pain or this cancer or this setback or this job layoff. But you got to say, hey, my journey cannot take away my joy. I count it, the Bible says, as dung. God said that I'd cast all my cares upon him and he would care for me. We just got to sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. Paul, again, in Philippians 4, verse 4, he said, I'm glad in God. Far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're, again, showing such strong concern for me. Not that, you know, you've ever quit praying for me or thinking about me. You just have had the chance, you know, not to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned now how to be quite content whatever my circumstances are. I'm just happy with a little as much as just much. It doesn't matter what I have. He says, I've found the recipe for being happy whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. He said he found the recipe. Everybody shout that with me. He found the recipe. Shout it one more time. What? He found it. So the recipe is this. If you don't have gas money, be happy. If you do have gas money, be happy. If you had gas money and you got gas and somebody took a hose and siphoned gas out of your tank, you're still going to be happy. If you're married, be happy. If you're not married, be happy. If you got kids, be happy. If you don't have kids, be happy. If you're hungry, be happy. If you're full, be happy. He's saying, listen, out of everything, just be happy. People get really scared, by the way, on airplanes. I've had some really funny things happen. One time I got on the plane, and this person was really, really scared. They sit beside me, and they started making the announcement that your seat cushion could be used as a flotation device in the event of a water landing. And this woman looked over at me, and she said, oh, my gosh, is that possible? And I said, you don't have to worry. Between St. Louis and Kansas City, there is no water landing. You just better hope it'll bounce in a cornfield. Come on, somebody. So she's worried about a water landing, and there's really no water between here and there. She needs to be worried about a cornfield landing. But see, that's what happens. The enemy tries to say, gas is going to get you. We're a bad country. It's all going to fall apart. I'm here to tell you, in a few years, things will go back to normal, and God will still be on the throne, and you'll either be in your right mind or your wrong mind, determined whether God is your chief cornerstone. Come on, somebody ought to just be happy today. Come on, Florida, make some noise today. Pressure. By the way, Paul found these secrets strapped in prison. His feet are strapped. His hands are strapped. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him, but he knows what's happening in him. That's why he wrote, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He wrote in Philippians 4:13, my God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, yeah, raise these kids. I can do all things, get along with my mate. I can do all things, deal with difficult situations. I can do all, well, culture's going to cancel me. They can't cancel you. You just keep going. How will you respond to the pressure? Philippians 4, verse 4, I just quoted, but I want to, for 13, it says, I can do all things, and I love this in the Amplified, it says, which he has called me to do. Through him who strengthens me, empowers me to fulfill his purpose, not my purpose, but his. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me, check this out, with inner strength and confident peace. I like the Amplified because of that first line, I want to break it down, which he's called me to do. Some people ride the airplane. Some people fly the airplane. Purpose. Both people get to the same destination. If you're going from Lambert Airfield and you're going to Palm Beach Atlantic, whether you were in the front or the back, we're all going to the same place. But the guy in the front, his purpose is different. In fact, they even protect him different. When he's got to go to the bathroom now, because after 9/11, how many of y'all have seen this, where they roll out the big cart and they put it kind of sideways, and then the guy walks out with his sunglasses on like, I got to go to the bathroom. And you can't move while the pilot, because his purpose is very important, and they don't want anybody to jump that guy. In fact, they've got some people staged within the airplane, the U.S. Marshal, and we don't know who they are until something happens, and all of a sudden the guy who's there, or girl that's there to protect us, they're there. You just don't know they're there until you need them. Purpose. See, sometimes people try to fly the airplane when God said, hey, you don't have to try to figure this out. That guy went to school to fly the airplane, or that guy went to school to do this, or that girl went to school to do that. You just sit back and relax and find out what God called you to do. So if you're a school teacher, do it and know that God's going to protect you, and pray every day that no shooting is coming in your classroom, and the blood of Jesus is there. Just because they don't allow a prayer in school, you can pray all you want on the inside of you. Somebody ought to give God praise today. We can take back our country. We can take back our life. We just need to put our eyes where it needs to be, and that's on Jesus. I dare you to praise him right now. Oh, that's it. No matter what he's called me to do, everybody shout, I'm called to do my thing. Look at your neighbor and say, you do your thing, and I'll do my thing. You got to do what God called you to do. Now, I want to break that down just a little bit more. My scriptures jumped up, my apologies. I can do all things through Christ, who all things which he has called me to do, through him who strengthens me and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. God has a purpose for your life, and that's why Growth Track is so important. When you go to Growth Track, even today, you need to go at any of our campuses and say, where's Growth Track? Because what it does is it helps you to connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, and then make a difference. If you just go to church, that's fine. You get information, you get inspiration. Got information? Great. Got inspired? Yeah. Actually felt good. Got up, clapped my hands a couple times. Got a shandai. Got my groove. You know, I got a little goosebump. It was like, yeah. And all those things are great. But you got to realize that if we want to make a difference in our church, if we want to make a difference in our nation, we have to respond to the pressure that is coming on us to deny Jesus, to deny our faith, and realize at some point, if the plane is crashing, and I've been in a lot of situations in airplanes, And I didn't have to teach anybody how to pray. When the plane started getting turbulent and the pressure, the cabin pressure changed and the oxygen mask dropped down, everybody started praying, repenting of their sins, getting right with God because they didn't want to die in the condition that they are. I'm here to tell you today that the plane is heading down for some people, but we, the church, need to get up and tell everybody everywhere that Jesus is coming and that Jesus is the answer. And so when we go to the gas station, invite him to church. When we go to the mall, invite them to your church. So you got a seat next to me. Come sit down right here. That's our purpose. Everybody shout, that's our purpose. Come on, Florida, shout it loud. What? That's our purpose. For the Catholics, let's sing it. That's our purpose. It's good. I can tell who's Catholic and who's not. I'm self-sufficient in cross-sufficiency. I'm ready for anything and equal through him. So many times, guys, I don't feel like that I'm capable of doing this job. I don't want to scare you, but even as a pilot sometimes, I've had stupid stuff. In fact, Lena, her husband, was in the back of the plane one time, and a part on the plane broke that it should have never broke, and the plane just went pop and snap and started going out of control, and I didn't close my eyes and go, Lamont, we're going to die. I acted like I wasn't scared, and I was scared, but I flew the plane until we got to the bottom. He high-fived me, and guess what? We live. But my point is, I was scared, but I didn't throw up my hands and stop flying. So right now, you might be scared in whatever situation you are, but it's no time to give up. You are the PIC, the pilot in command of your life. Take charge of your life. I want to inspire you today that you got this, girl. You're up for it. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses me with inner strength. And I love that last line. I think it's so important now in 2022. And a confident peace. I'll never die in an airplane because I hijack everyone that I ever get on. As soon as I get on, I say, going to the other side without an accident or incident in the name of Jesus. And so if you're ever on an airplane with somebody from Faith Church, you're on the safest plane in the whole world. But while I'm flying or while I'm living, I'm not afraid of dying. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. We're all going to die. Somebody came to a preacher and said, hey, my uncle died. You prayed for him. And he said, everybody I prayed for is going to die. Because we all die. The question is, how are you going to live? And while you're living, live. Students live with a big dream. Not oh, and then parents don't say, you know, I hear some people say, man, I don't, it's no time to have kids right now. The world's so crazy. It's a great time to have kids. Raise them at Faith Kids. Send them out to the world because the world's solutions are found through inner peace, not from a higher power, but through Jesus, the Savior, the only true and living God. Somebody ought to shout amen to that. There aren't many gods, by the way. When I say that now, it gets a little quiet. I want to make sure we still rush the field with this one. There aren't many ways to God. Can't we all just get along? Yes, but we all can't get along in heaven because it's the God that we serve that created the heaven and the earth. He had a son and has a son, and his name is Jesus. And he didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. So we should love everybody with their gods and tell them. But guess what? The real, true, and living God is still alive, and I feel him in my heart. And we got to share our faith everywhere we go. We got the answer, guys. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Do you love God today? Raise your hand at all campuses. Roll palm. It works together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You got a purpose. Young people, old people, you got a purpose. What's your purpose? You got to find that out. I know one thing that I know for sure is your purpose is every believer. The Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So one of your main purposes is you have to tell your people at school, people at work, people on the job, people on the plane, Tell everybody everywhere about Jesus. This is the practical application. This is how to make contact with people to show them you're a true and living God. But if you're freaked out like they're freaked out, if you talk like they talk, then we have nothing to really offer them. I shared it recently the other day. Me and Nicole were buying some shoes for a friend of ours there at the Palm Beach Mall, and we had Nicole's dog, and we were laughing. We were really having a good time. We didn't even know what a great time we were having. Part of the reason why we're having a great time is Nicole was doing her favorite thing, which is shopping. And actually, that's a lie. That's actually my favorite thing to do, in all transparency, but that's my sermon, and I'm going with it that way. And this guy was watching us, and he came over and said, "You two can't possibly be married. You're too happy." And I said, "We are very much married. If you don't think so, ask her." But we are happily married. He said, and he went on to say how many years he had been married, and he wasn't experiencing what we were experiencing. I didn't really have time to break it down right then. But the people at the shoe department were kind of pointing him towards us, as in they know who Pastor David and Nicole are. So at some point, he's going to turn on the television and he's going to see, you know what? Maybe God put me at the shoe place at that moment. And maybe I was kind of seated at the right seat at that moment at the Palm Beach. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So maybe he could experience a purpose-filled marriage. By the way, you're not married just to have sex. That's a great part of marriage. That produces kids, by the way. This is our talk about the birds and bees. But the purpose is that you two enjoy each other. And the purpose is, whatever God joined together, no man could pull asunder. And the purpose is, when I pray and I mix it with my wife's prayer, it goes to the 10th power. And the purpose for you going to church is just not so you can get the bulletin and not so you can press your friends. The purpose of going to church is when we get together, we change nations. We push back darkness. Hell gets afraid because we are full of purpose and power. Somebody ought to give God praise today in that high school. Come on, Royal Palm. I got a video clip of a crazy landing of a plane there. This is an actual footage. How many of y'all don't want to be a part of that plane? Oh, my gosh. What in the world? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I love watching these, you know. Any landing you can walk away from is a good one. Whoa. How many of y'all think people were praying in there? People are doing rosaries. People are doing rabasaka. People are repenting of sin. It's life, man. But some of that footage of those planes kind of reminded me a little bit of right now. Turn on the news. Next channel. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. But the cool part about all those flights there, everybody landed and they all walked away. Now they all needed to change their pants. But they all walked away. So right now, I want you to make a decision that I went to church this weekend. I'm sitting down. I'm going to have people that I don't know at all around me. And I'm not going to allow what happens around me to affect me. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to stay peaceful. I'm going to stay happy. I'm going to stay full of joy. I'm going to stay full of love. And I'm going to act like Paul acted when he said, "Hey, guess what? Even if I'm executed tomorrow, God counted me worthy." It's not really something I want to talk about. How many of y'all don't want to be executed tomorrow or the next day or any day that ends in Y? But Paul and our great forefathers of the faith, all these people died being stoned for Jesus, stabbed for Jesus, burned for Jesus. And Columbine, when that person came in and as an antichrist spirit, it said, "Deny Jesus." That's the word that they used. Or remember some of the footage that we saw a few years ago. Remember that when the ISIS was going in and they were beheading Christians? Anybody saw that? It was a tragic thing. They actually took Christians and they took their heads off. Here in the last 5, 6, 7 years, these things are really happening in the world. So maybe your life is not as bad as you think. Can I get an amen? And then maybe number two, from just a different perspective, maybe when we get to heaven someday and we finally land at that city where the Lamb is the light, and we walk in before Jesus, and there's John, who was on the Isle of Patmos, and they threw him out there to die after they had burned him in hot oil, yet he saw the vision, and he wrote the book of Revelation, and you see the kids from Columbine, and you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you see all the people who died for Christ, and there's Billy Graham, who even though he was shunned and hurt and maligned and lied about, he kept preaching, and you see all that, and you go, hey, I only went to church on the weekends where they gave a t-shirt. I was busy, man. If you bring a hot dog and some fireworks, I might come. Maybe you guys could wash my car or something. So I felt like, you know, could you do? Actually, I had a guy. He said it was great. He's a business guy. He said, it'd be really cool. The church is so big. Why don't you, like, start a cleaners? And then, like, we could bring our cleaning. And then the church could make money, too. And it's not a bad idea. I go, we're not a cleaners. And we're not a car wash. And we're not a club. We are a Holy Ghost hospital preaching Jesus to people who are in trouble, lost, and on their way to hell. And I dare you today to get up and begin to shout it from the mountaintops. That you're not afraid of Jesus. You're not ashamed of Jesus. And whether they cancel you or not, you say, I can't be canceled because I have a resurrected Savior on the inside of me against opposition. I will lift up. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a person full of faith and purpose. Give God praise today in this house. Everyone stand with me. That'll encourage me to shut up. But please, no one leave. I want to tell you that I'm proud of you for coming to church this weekend. But that only goes so far. But I know God's proud of you because you did what he said. He said, forsake not the assemblings of yourself together, and when the evil day approaches, do it all the more. And I feel sorry right now for children that are being raised in this society, in this current culture, and they're absent in church where they teach principles from the Bible, the Holy Writ of God, the manufacturer's handbook on how to do life. I feel sorry for them. But you know, when I walk down the halls of RPC and I see little JP and I see Joe Woods kids, and I walk down there and West Palm at the high school, and I see all those little kids coming out with their balloons, and they learned about Jesus and they colored pictures about Jesus, and Ferguson and Earth City and Sunset Hills, I thank God. Yeah, it's really hard work and it's a whole lot of pressure. But when I do go on to meet Jesus, I'll be able to say, I fulfilled my purpose. I stayed the course. I preached the gospel. When COVID tried to shut us down, we kept going. When the next funky monkey disease coming, we're gonna keep going. Guess what? Because we have a job to do. We gotta preach Jesus and him crucified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's sing it together. Holy, holy. Come on, every campus, let's sing together. For everybody, stretch your hands. Nicole and I are going to agree with you in prayer. Every campus, we're singing simultaneously right now, live, through the technology that God has created. God, Nicole and I pray for every family that's struggling, every person dealing with suicidal tendencies, alcohol addictions, feeling like something's not right, sleep disorders, every diabolical disease that is named. There is a name that is bigger than that name. That name is Jesus. God, I ask you this weekend to move in and out every row, up and down every aisle, and touch your people. God, I thank you that our church realizes that one of the things you told us to do was go to church religiously. We're going to do that. God, you're worthy of it. We give you praise and honor that we live in a country that we can still do it. God, I ask you to move and pull and do whatever you need to do to keep our country strong so we can still say in the face of adversity, in God we trust. God bless America, so that we can preach this good news glad all around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big round of applause this week.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.